Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Business Radio X On Location. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and I want to tell you that we are broadcasting live from the Women's Club of Nashville, a place for weddings, meetings, parties, and more. You can sign up today to come out here and have your event in this historical atmosphere. Go check out Facebook as well to see all of our photos and follow us on Twitter at Business Radio X to stay connected there as well. We are here for the NABO NBU 2016, Women's NABO Nashville chapter. They're having a lunch and learn here today, one of many that are going to be happening over the next several months. So please stay tuned for more from here, from their outfit here today. But now we're joined in the studio by a great guest. He is president of the Jumpstart Foundry and the founder of the Unlikely Company. His name is Marcus Whitney. How are you doing, Marcus?
I'm great, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So are you a local resident here in Nashville?
I am. I've been living here a little over 15 years now.
15 years in Nashville. What brought you here originally?
I moved here from Atlanta in 2000 in search of a great place to raise my family.
Well, we are based out of Atlanta, as many people know, and I'm an Atlanta native myself, and my first visit here to Nashville. So it's been great
welcome.
So far. Thank you
welcome,
so much.
Welcome, yeah.
This is great. I hope to come back and hope this is a first visit of many for Business Radio X and myself here to Nashville. So let's talk about your background a little bit.
Sure.
You've got an entrepreneurial spirit about you, as I can tell from reading your bio. Mm-hmm. What was your first endeavor into entrepreneurialism?
God, I guess it was very, very young, you know, trading and selling baseball cards, you know, maybe like printing up my own T-shirts in college. I think I always, you know, wanted to be creative and I just like the art of making deals happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, have been doing it for a long time in various ways. I think I got really, really serious in 2007 after spending 4 years as the director of technology and chief architect for Emma Email Marketing. And just being very, very close with the founders, Clint Smith and Will Weaver, of that company. Mm-hmm. And seeing, you know, the power of being able to bring your own vision to life and create a culture that made a lot of other people's lives better, and just got, you know, really addicted to the idea of doing it.
Right. So entrepreneurial struck you young, and you stuck to it through the years. Any advice you may give to a young entrepreneur now who's kind of battling whether this is something that they want to go forward with for the rest of their lives?
Try it. You know,
right?
Try it. Yeah. I mean, you know, the sooner you start, the sooner you'll learn whether or not it's for you or it isn't. And, you know, once you start and it is for you, it becomes very addictive. And, you know, for me, there was no turning back. I've certainly had my fair share of failures. But I'm addicted to the process and
right.
into the experience. So.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And we hear that a lot from entrepreneurial guys like yourself. Just chase your dream, follow your passion, and just do it. And,
absolutely.
And for those listeners who may not know that Marcus has been in the creation of almost 60 businesses over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you just chasing your dreams in a lot of different directions, aren't you?
Well, Jumpstart Foundry is a innovation fund, and we started as an accelerator in 2009. So through that platform, we've been launching on average probably, you know, 8 businesses a year. This year we're upping it to 20. It's been fortunate. Get to work with a lot of great entrepreneurs and you know, help a lot of people learn and launch their first or second or third business. It's a fun process.
Yeah, the Jumpstart Foundry. So mm-hmm. that helps businesses get launched. And that was launched when for you?
2009.
2009.
Yep.
And so what are some of the secrets behind the curtains for you over there at Jumpstart Foundry? What are some of those things you apply to these new businesses and help them succeed?
Sure. I think in the beginning when we started, we were very focused on the opportunity that technology had afforded passionate entrepreneurs to be able to start, you know, global, really impactful businesses with a very small amount of money. So we started investing $15,000 per company and then bringing on some mentors to help them to tighten up their business model, figure out how they wanted to go to market, and then actually start to, you know, make some progress. I think over the years, you know, that model, that approach that we brought here to Tennessee has been replicated, has been fine-tuned, has started to get verticalized. So you're seeing, you know, specific accelerators in the music space, mm-hmm. specific ones in the fashion space now are launching. And so for us, we've evolved kind of away from that general opportunity to what we think is a bigger opportunity, which is specifically focusing on healthcare, which is a massive industry here in Nashville, and working with healthcare technology companies really from around the country who want to make a really, really big impact in an industry that is in need of a lot of change.
And that's true. And it's changing day to day, week to week, month to month. You know, we see that a lot in our studios back in Atlanta for sure with healthcare and healthcare IT specifically. Lots of help needed there. So, but what do you guys need over there at the Jumpstart Foundry? Do you need more businesses to come calling and get them help? Or you just need to help create some more funds for businesses to use? Or what do you guys need?
Well, a little bit of both. We invest $150,000 in 20 different companies, and we'll make all those investments in May. So we just opened up our kind of acceptance process. We're hoping that 400 companies will come through the doors and talk to us, that'll give us kind of a good number of companies to go through to get down to the final 20. But if you do software or hardware, we don't care if it's consumer, clinical or enterprise and back office, we want to hear from you, especially if you've got a product team and you've actually built the product, like it's actually working. Doesn't need to be like totally ready for the market, but you need to be able to prove that it actually can function as you say it can. So PowerPoint won't do.
Yeah, and not just here in Nashville either. You can be
all over the country.
How are you actively marketing your services to someone, say, in Seattle or Silicon Valley?
Yeah, so I think we've got kind of two different levels. So one, we definitely use PR and we use marketing. We're a strong marketing group, so we use that to kind of reach all over the country. And then we've got a series of cities that we're really, really interested in that we're actually going to go visit. We're going to kind of spend 2 days in each one of those cities. At least 2 to 3 of our team members will be going there. My partner Vic and I, and then Eller and Daniel, who recently joined us as well. So we'll be going to New Orleans, Denver. We'll be going to Minneapolis. We'll be going to Raleigh-Durham. We're going to cities where we think that there's a lot of talent, there's some great investors, and where we can make a big impact. We'll also be going to Chicago.
Oh, that's great. And do we at Business Radio X resonate with your methodology there? Because that's the way we believe. Get boots on the ground, go visit the people, be seen, be heard, talk to the people who are in those cities. And then before you know, they're going to be opening their doors and you're on their radar as well.
Yeah.
So that's great. So you're going to new cities in 2016, looking to help more businesses get out there and get to market, whatever it may be, but particularly in the healthcare space, you said.
Yeah, particularly healthcare for us. We believe that it's not enough to just invest money in these companies. You know, we hope to work with really, really smart, passionate people who have a great opportunity, and we want to be able to provide as much value as we can. So we think it makes sense to focus in on a particular industry and go really deep in how we can help them in that one industry. If they wanted to do music or something else, there's lots of other great partners out there they could work with.
And so we've been speaking with Marcus Whitney, president of the Jumpstart Foundry and founder of The Unlikely Company. Let's turn our attention to that now.
Yeah.
Tell us about that company.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, as Jumpstart sort of moved, I would call it upstream, and started working with more experienced entrepreneurs that had kind of a little bit more of a business together. They weren't so much an idea on a napkin. I think it was great for Jumpstart as a company, but it left me feeling like I wasn't able to do some of the stuff I really like to do, which was work with people who just had a dream or were just contemplating getting their very first business off the ground and needed some education, some inspiration to really do that. I think at the same time, I've come to a belief that I think is founded in some strong facts and data, that entrepreneurship is, in no small way replacing education in the 21st century as the great equalizer. When we look at economic mobility, when we look at, the impact of student loan debt, when we look at how people are becoming wealthy, when we look at the Forbes list and over the last 15 years, all the new entrants there, it's pretty clear that there's a shift towards entrepreneurship. As a country, we are absolutely running an innovation economy right now, heavily, heavily powered by Silicon Valley. And we need to kind of be aware of that and conscious of that. And I think entrepreneurship is going to be a skill, whether or not you want to do it individually, or even if you work in a large corporation, you're going to have to wrap your head around what it's going to take to remain an inventive and innovative company.
Man, those are some great words. Truly resonates with me as we hear a lot of these same things said in our studios over and over again about entrepreneurship. What was that first thing you said? Entrepreneurship is the new...
It's the great equalizer.
The great equalizer.
In the 20th century, it was education, right?
We
were in an industrial era, and it was very kind of clear. People were working for pensions and kind of management positions and things like that. Getting a bachelor's and then an accelerated degree, those things, really kind of made sense. But now, you go into an industry, and 4 years later, either the industry might not be there, or it could be completely revolutionized by the combination of globalization, technology, automation, and venture capital. So, where do you really want to be?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're right. You're right. And it used to be high school education was enough. Then a college education was enough. Then you had to have some sort of continuing education.
That's right.
But if you really want to change your game and your life, you've got to get involved in entrepreneurship.
That's right. Yeah. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with the institutions of education that are established today. It's simply to say that I think that entrepreneurship is rising in its importance and in its prominence. And,
yeah,
it needs to be taught.
You know, it does. And there are schools, colleges, particularly Kennesaw State University in Atlanta now has an entrepreneurship center where they're teaching.
Which is fantastic.
Yes. So they're teaching students at a young age because really entrepreneurship is also about risk and conquering fears and being able to go against the grain. When everybody else is going one way, you've got to go the other.
Absolutely.
And that takes a certain type of person. Not everybody's cut out for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that there's, there's an entrepreneurial leader and then, the person who understands how entrepreneurship works and can work with entrepreneurs, right? And I think we're going to need both of those, quite frankly, right? We're going to need both of those in order to really, kind of can remain competitive as a country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right now we have a couple of centers that I think are doing great, but we have a lot of embedded institutions that are kind of just resting on the success of previous generations.
Correct.
And we also tend to forget that many of these amazing Fortune 100 companies that feel like they've been here since the beginning of Earth are 100 or 150 years old and started with a crazy entrepreneur, right? I mean, you look at the financial institution of J.P. Morgan, and I think most people would think of it as a very risk-averse organization that focuses on protecting depositor money and predictably returning great returns on the investment, which absolutely makes sense. But when you look back at the story of J.P. Morgan, he was looked at like a crackpot because he was investing in light bulbs, and people were like, "What is this science fiction you're playing with?" And his dad didn't really kind of favor him as a result of that. So, I mean, I think we just have short memories, right?
Yes.
We see these companies and they're all big, and we're just operating them and forgetting that the way they got there was some really bold, brave entrepreneur, who took a risk on a market opportunity and saw it through.
And another element to that, and one of the reasons why we're here today, we can add this part to the conversation, is bringing more women to the leadership forefront.
Absolutely.
Putting them in charge of not only Fortune 500 companies, but women business owners and such that. So from your experience and your perspective, it worked with so many entrepreneurs, how important it is that we begin to or continue to bring women into the forefront in entrepreneurship.
I think it's massive. I think America's greatest strength is, in fact, its diversity, and that's absolutely part and parcel of the Unlikely Company's mission is making sure that we have a entrepreneurial culture that reflects the diversity of this country. Right, entrepreneurs are going to be leaders that are going to find solutions in a non-bureaucratic way. And I think it's incredibly important that we have those different perspectives. We need them from women. We need them from, first-generation immigrants. We need them from all different cultures and creeds and religions. We need different perspectives in order to be as great at innovation as we possibly can be. And also, quite frankly, that we need to balance the economic scales in terms of, how wealth is distributed. Because I think we'll see a benefit for our society when wealth is more evenly distributed. And so those are all things that we believe can be byproducts of encouraging more women and encouraging more minorities and encouraging more immigrants to really get aggressive about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and that's part of our mission with Business Radio X is help amplify the voice of business for those who are not heard. Oftentimes when business is heard in traditional media, it's because there is a scandal or someone's in trouble or someone's got a huge severance package. We just want to be that with that special voice for those individuals who are really changing the world, one community at a time. And that's
right.
Brings us out here today. And certainly women in the C-suite or women business owners, it does make a difference. And we're always pushing for gender diversity, as diversity overall within the workforce. And we're working towards that here in the near future. So young advice for any female entrepreneur who's thinking about joining NABO. What has been your experience with NABO?
So I have a brand new experience with NABO. I met Jacqueline Hayes, who runs this chapter about 6 months ago. She was gracious enough to reach out to me and ask me to participate in this university series that they're putting on. I think it's great. I think there's probably nothing more important for an entrepreneur than fellowship. You need to be around other entrepreneurs. And, quite frankly, it's really helpful if you're around other entrepreneurs that look like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just sort of reinforces that this is something that you belong to and you ought to be doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's critical. And I always try to encourage entrepreneurs to surround themselves with other entrepreneurs. I just think there's a lot of value in that.
I do too. And not just the same industry either.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good to have a cross-section of industries. You may be experiencing some of the pain points and you're growing your business or taking your business to the next level. And you'll find that a lot of that crosstalk happens across industries as well.
Couldn't agree more.
Right. And so, and then let's talk about some of the ways you're giving back to the community. You're out here speaking to the Women's Club, any other nonprofits or community groups you're involved with.
Well, the Unlikely Company is a public benefit corporation, so kind of a new structure here in America in terms of how
explain business. Explain that to us. I'm not familiar.
Sure. So public benefit corporations are a for-profit entity that, unlike all previous for-profit entities that in their charter had one purpose, which was to serve shareholders. Mm-hmm. A public benefit corporation has two reasons for existing. One is to serve their shareholders, but the other is to provide some public benefit or public good.
Okay.
And so that is that's written into the charter, and it's legislature that so far has been handed down at the state level. Mm-hmm. Tennessee actually just started chartering public benefit corporations this year, which is fantastic. And I think what's really great about it is you now have for-profit corporations that are, you know, creating products that have to compete in the market like every other product, or, you know, offering services that have to compete in the market like every other service. But in the charter, they are committing that they're going to provide a benefit as a result of the good fortune that they receive with their success.
I see.
So in our charter, 30% of net profit, we reinvest into educational programs teaching entrepreneurship, primarily targeted at growing the diversity of entrepreneurs in America. So our first program right now is a pilot program we're doing with the Oasis Center, which is a 50-plus-year-old youth organization here in Nashville. Just a fantastic, comprehensive home for youth who are both, I would say, you know, experiencing some challenges, as, you know, almost all of us did when we were young, but also to really help youth thrive. And so I would put this in the bucket of helping youth thrive. Mm-hmm. We're basically creating a semester-long entrepreneurship program. So we've got mentors that we just trained last night, actually. The program will start in early February, and we'll be meeting with them, you know, once a week, and hopefully actually, you know, designing and getting some businesses off the ground. So that's the first program that that we're launching, and we're really excited. We've got a couple of other ones in the hopper. So that's kind of what the Unlikely Company does, we're committed to doing that. We're very excited about that work, and we think there's a lot of opportunity there. Especially partnering with existing community organizations that already have a good bond with the community to introduce entrepreneurial education. Mm-hmm. Then I would say beyond that, Nashville is a very, very, very giving city. It's a very, very philanthropic city. It's obviously part of the volunteer state. And so, committing to your community through nonprofits is just kind of part of the Nashville way. So I'm fortunate to be a new member of the board of Habitat for Humanity.
Nice.
Board member of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center. Just try to, you know, participate and support the community in various endeavors as I can.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you're fully immersed yourself here in the Nashville market. I know they're happy to have you. What are some, your perspective, what are some of these other emerging trends you see here in Nashville?
Well, we are absolutely, blowing the roof off of the tourism and hospitality business right now. Mm-hmm. Which is evident by how much it costs to get a hotel room at the Omni. It's about as much as New York City. It's crazy. Our CVB, our Convention and Visitors Bureau, has just done a bang up job over the last 10 years. Matching the brand effect and the deal making with the development of downtown and just the appeal of what's happened here. Our food scene has gone through the roof as well. We have great chefs from all over the country, probably the world, coming here to establish, you know, restaurants and new hotels are opening up here at a pretty, mean mm-hmm. clip. So I think tourism and hospitality is a big deal. We have a really strong fashion industry here that's been very disconnected for a long time. And a dear friend of mine, Van Tucker, just recently launched the Nashville Fashion Alliance. And so now we're putting some infrastructure behind that mm-hmm. industry that was here, but just, you know, didn't really have any continuums, any education, any support, any advocacy. And so I think that's going to really turn things around for that industry. They've already had a fashion week going for a while. So
is it like New York fashions, or is it more like Western wear, or
well,
what is it?
I mean, I think it's very comprehensive. You know, I think a lot of people don't don't think about the fact that Nashville is a major media center. It is, right? I mean, you know, we've got you know, CMT here, we've got Viacom, we've got a major Gannett hub here, and we've got, you know, per capita as many superstars as you might want to see in any city. I mean, especially for a city our size, mm-hmm. we've got, you know, a tremendous number of superstars. So we've got several major league sports teams. So there's a lot of you know, activity that I think is nationally recognized.
Very cosmopolitan city.
It is. And we're also a very international city. We're certainly a hub for many immigrant populations to have come and resettled, and a rich place for that. So I think that we have a very interesting development around fashion in terms of the styles we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So sounds like Marcus is very well connected in the Nashville community, and there's so much going on here. We encourage you listeners to get out here and visit, and maybe if you're a business owner and thinking about relocating, you know, think about looking at Nashville. It's got a great wealth of population and emerging young professionals who would love to get involved there. So so when you're not out there changing the world of business, you're not out there, you know, being Mr. Nashville, what do you like to do in your off time to stay inspired and motivated?
Well, I've got two awesome kids, so I hang with them. My youngest son is with me right now. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time with them, and we do fun stuff. My oldest son is an actor, so we go to a lot of his plays, and my youngest son likes to program, which is kind of a lot of my background. So I certainly enjoy supporting him in that, and we do some martial arts together. I love to travel. My wife and I like to travel a lot, so we love to do that. And I like to eat good food.
Yeah, so he's a man about town, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it here on Business Radio X On Location. If you could tell our listeners, Marcus, how they can find out more information about you or any of your companies.
Sure. So you can find out more about Jumpstart Foundry at jsf.co. That's .co. That's our website. You can find out more about me and the Unlikely Company just at marcuswhitney.com. And I'm Marcus Whitney pretty much on every social network. So at Marcus Whitney on Twitter and so on and so on.
Yeah, just go put in Marcus Whitney in your Google search bar, and I'm sure a whole laundry list of achievements is going to pull up for you to peruse through and get to know Marcus a little better. If you have questions for him, maybe you're a business owner, an entrepreneur here in Nashville or elsewhere particularly, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer questions for you and talk to you. So thank you so much, Marcus. I look forward to hearing your speech later here today at the NABO University Series here at the Women's Club of Nashville. If we can do anything else to help you further your voice or amplify your message, please let us know. We'd be happy to do so.
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it. And thanks to Business Radio X.
All right. And listeners, make sure you go to Business Radio at Business Radio X on Twitter. Follow us there. And you can also follow me personally at Ryan Redhawk. As a reminder, too, all of our conversations are going to be posted at businessradiox.com. So check us out there. Thank you to Stone Pate and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.